So welcome back to another edition of The Head Game. Today is a little bit of a special episode, something that, you know, Dr. Lee and I started to recognize over our conversations over the past few weeks is that, you know, some of the conversations that we have in our own kind of backyard is about kind of the state of affairs of the world. Sometimes the head game that we play as both clinicians and as coaches, where are a lot of our athletes and high performers that we train are. And we thought it'd be valuable to share our insights, our thoughts, our education on those topics. And so we're really going to be doing this series called Uncut. It's a little bit shorter of a version. We're going to be trying to stick to, you know, a certain amount of time, probably closer to 20 minutes, really giving you some nice insights. So any new listeners, you know, this is really a new opportunity to get to introduce us a little bit more, but really to get a better understanding about, you know, the head game that we all play and kind of state of affairs. And so we want to just give you this snapshot, really, something that's easy to listen to, but really highly packed with good information, education, really to showcase the head game, you know, that we all play. So, you know, sit back, relax, wherever you might be, if you're working out, if you're in your car. We're going to be releasing a lot of the audio version in full form, but you can also check out our Instagram. You can check out our Facebook as well at mindfulathletetraining.com. Score, you know, the head game. And you can check out a lot of our clips as well throughout the way. So I hope you enjoy this episode of The Head Game.
Thank you for tuning into The Head Game podcast powered by Mindful Athlete Training, where you grab an inside look into the heads and minds of the high performer. Learn what they do and how they think to help you take control of your own head game.
So when I think about this concept of uncut and... you know, it goes back to conversations that you and I have so often. And I think like any person who, you don't have to be a business owner, you don't have to be an entrepreneur. We all have these close to our chest conversations about how we see the world and really the back and forth that we engage with our own point of view, as well as the rest of the world. And I think that sometimes in traditional podcasts, where you have more of the guests that are interesting folks that are telling their stories, those conversations often get directed by that content. But yet there's a simpler, more direct theme that very often comes up. And if there's a head game that we're all playing, that typically means we think that there's either a winning or a losing point of view within ourselves. And that's a grapple. That's a battle that can elicit some stress, tension, insecurity, anxiety for some. And I think from the feedback that I've gotten from some of our listeners is that they really enjoy when you and I just take a moment to talk about our take on things, how we see that moment, based on clinical background, mental fitness expertise, the combination of both, because those are really the elements in life that I think speak to the masses. And quite frankly, that's the ones that are the most relevant when people go about their daily lives. So when I think about Uncut, I think about you and I just kind of getting more to the point about what we really think based on what we feel, just, you know, being human high performers ourselves, let's hope, more times than not, and sharing some of those insights with people to better assist in their own lives.
Yeah. So I know, absolutely. And I think, you know, as we kind of were thinking about this potential series, you know, we were thinking about a variety of different topics, things that we wanted to hit on, things that we find that are important and relevant for people to know, but also just recognizing the trends that are happening over and over again in our world. And I think we have a unique perspective as experts in human behavior to kind of notice the nuances, but also kind of pulling our education, kind of giving people tips and tricks, as well as things to kind of understand, but really just kind of peer behind two experts understanding or how we might see the world. So I'm excited for this series because I think it allows us to really showcase who we are also. A little bit more kind of off, you know, off the clock. And I think that's going to be helpful for our listeners as well. So I'm excited for this conversation and I look forward to more coming.
really glad that you said that. Just in people getting to know us more, you got me all excited. You got me all tingly because, you know, I think this is also an opportunity for, being that this is our first Uncut, to really talk about who we are and maybe mm-hmm. share with our listening audience a little bit more background. Because I think that, you know, our partnership is a vital piece of our success because we represent often both sides of the proverbial coin, which I think provides a unique balance, not only to our clientele, but to our listening audience. So I'm just going to kind of pick up that ball and run with it. It's football season. Even though I was a defensive player, I'm going to do my best, you know, running back imitation and just share with the listening audience briefly a bit of my bio that I think is relevant to the head game. You know, first and foremost, I'm a father. I'm a husband of over 20 years. I have two children. I have a boy and a girl, 20 and 18 years old. I can't believe that that's actually coming out of my mouth. That officially makes me a little older. And most of my perspectives, my points of view, which I've shared with you, Hunter, often, are driven out of that mindset. What it is to be a dad. They're both athletes. I was an athlete, played some undergrad football at Lehigh, had some success, had a very quick snapshot with what pro football could look like. I had an agent, the first female agent in all of NFL football. Her name is Ellen Zavian. She's actually been a guest on our podcast. Exceptional woman, a wonderful Mindful Athlete Training ambassador. And my point of view with perspective regarding the head game is all about what really becomes the most valuable to us when we work on what I'm just going to call a values hierarchy, right? When we start to value things that are important to us in our life, what drives us? What motivates us? What got me up this morning? And what's the first thing that popped into my mind? Because that's really what I call my true north. We have that on, you know, our Basecamp One whiteboard. Yep. We ask all of our interns to come in every week and identify their true north. What keeps you fixed on your goals? That's a little bit about me and I think the relevance of my contribution to the head game.
Yeah, I think what'll be interesting too is just our different perspectives and in states of life. I think there is shifts based on the generations, different thoughts on our lives. You know, you have grown kids. I'm looking to start a family, you know, starting my career. You're established in that career. And I think that gives an interesting kind of look into not saying old, right? More so just saying established. And it's more so that
as look. As long as you don't say I'm at the end of my career when you say you're at the beginning, then we're cool. Then we're cool. Yeah.
So it's that perspective, right? That really I think is going to be a unique. I find a lot of times people are relatively in the same space of life. Naturally, they gravitate. So I think that different perspective will kind of help elicit new conversations that maybe aren't necessarily always out there in the wavelengths. So for myself, right, I'm just recently out of grad school, a couple of years out of grad school. I'm married. Looking to start a family, just bought my first house not too long ago, former athlete as well. I played Division I volleyball, tried my hand at the Olympic teams, didn't quite make that. But I then went on to, again, get my doctorate in psychology and my MBA. So the business side, as well as the clinical side, but really helping athletes try to achieve their best selves is really something that I'm always about. But really, it's not just athletes, but it's anyone who's really trying to perform at their best. So I like to bring a unique perspective. Curiosity is probably my driving value. If we're talking about values, I like to kind of dabble into almost everything. My mom was a theater director, so I was always kind of brought into that world when I was a kid, as well as athletics, as well as singing, as well as art. So I'm kind of well-rounded in that kind of respect as well. So I like to bring curiosity, and I'll bring a lot of different backgrounds and intrigue into our conversations. And so that's a little bit about me. And so, again, as we were talking about setting up this series, we were talking about a variety of topics that we find very passionate about, and we end up having very passionate conversations kind of behind closed doors, but helping people peer in, one of the things that we talked about is really trust. Trust is a very big, important thing within our organization, but obviously, in the world. And I think trust is kind of on this precipice right now of so much social media, like so much false AI, right? All of these things that are kind of pushing, like, how do I trust things? How do I know that something is truthful? How do I know something is real? And so I think trust is a really interesting thing. So I guess where you are in your life and some of the experiences that you've had, like, how has trust been impacting you? How have you been experiencing how to trust people nowadays, how to trust information nowadays? Like, what's driving that for you?
And for me, when I think about the concept of trust, something that, you know, you and I throw back and forth, right? It's the hardest to gain, but easiest to lose. Whether that's with your direct audience, whether that's in a relationship, as it speaks to our athletes, between athlete and coach. And there's this give and take. And I think of the concept of trust, I think about what I call appropriate risk-taking. We all have a fork in the road. Even you and I, Hunter, in our relationship, in our partnership, in our conceptualization of mindful athlete training, we know each other's perspectives, opinions, and point of views. But at some point, whether it's once a day, once a week, I certainly hope it's at least once a week, we come to that point where the fork in the road requires a certain degree of risk from each of us to extend ourselves, to be vulnerable. When I think about trust, I think about vulnerability. And in today's world, I don't know how often that is a two-way street. Because so many people wrap themselves with insulation, often out of fear,
right?
Fear of their own point of view being maintained. So when I think about trust, I think about the human dynamic. I think about relationship building. I think about appropriate risk taking, and I think about vulnerability.
Yeah, it's interesting. You're talking about like that protective factor. I need to protect myself. I need to protect my standards. I need to protect who I am. And so that vulnerability isn't necessarily always met. People are less willing to take that risk, less willing to be vulnerable in that space. You know, I find it, especially nowadays, because information flows so fast, it requires a certain level of snap judgment. You know, snap judgment to trust somebody or not to trust somebody. And that can come from a variety of different things, whether that's, you know, how somebody dresses, how they look, how they speak, right? All of that's coming in. And I think, you know, snap judgment is a very challenging place to be because the information flow, the push of press to be first out, right? The push to be right constantly. It doesn't allow for vulnerability, but it also doesn't allow for questioning as much. It doesn't allow for skepticism as much because the information is just constantly flowing and it's the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. So I find it's very hard to automatically trust someone. And obviously in our position, knowing trust is something that needs to be built. I think understanding how trust kind of plays a role into our lives is important. And for me, trust is something that, you know, I need to recognize that somebody I can connect with, someone I can depend on, someone that when I go for information, not just once, not just twice, not just three times, is going to also benefit and support what I'm trying to accomplish as well as what they're trying to accomplish. If I feel that there's any ounce of deceit or any ounce of misinformation, it becomes hard. But I also need to recognize, as someone who's a clinician, that people have their own agendas, but it's not always maliciously intended. Sometimes it's unconsciously engaged with. And so understanding how to kind of sift that out and ask the right questions, I think, is one of the most effective ways to develop trust, because instead of that snap judgment, I'm more open to being curious. And that helps me drive trust for myself.
Yeah. When I hear you talk about trust, I'm hearing words like consistency. Right? That you're looking for that reliable source of information. And I think that that is part of the human condition. But I also feel that sometimes, let's go to athletics for just a second, the dynamic between coach and player. And this is at every level, from pro to college to high school. The trust factor that exists between coach and player is such a mysterious, murky water scenario. in my opinion, far too often. And I would attribute that to, because if you're listening and you're thinking, well, how do I then foster trust? Because I'm a coach or even a player out there who might be going through a difficult time, feeling misunderstood. I think communication is one of those foundational elements of trust in today's dynamic between coach and player, really mentor and mentee, supervisor and trainee, boss and employee, whatever the, again, back to a hierarchy of sorts, whatever that power differential might be, there's an often trickle down with how much we trust, often based on how much we extend ourselves through communication. Very often, there is a disconnect between one or the other, player, coach, employee, boss, supervisor, or supervisee, because one person feels they're doing all the communicating and the other person feels that they're not being communicated properly to.
Yeah, I think there, what drives that, you know, is our personal agendas, right? Whether that's, I want to start as the athlete, right? And I'm not getting the playing time that I want, or a coach has a particular developmental plan that they're not necessarily sharing, right? They have their own kind of individualized kind of script or agenda that they're kind of driving home. And it's not always kind of seen, and it doesn't always feel like it's relevant. You know, something as you were talking, I was thinking about kind of how we started today, thinking about dynamics of change, like, especially as you said, like in today's dynamic kind of relationship of coach and player, it's probably different than the dynamics in which coaches and players had, you know, 20 plus years ago, in the way in which it was, this is what you need to do, go do it, right? And that doesn't mean that that was the right way to do it back then either. However, I feel like there's a lot more autonomy that individuals can have, especially from the player standpoint, as well as the need for information from a parental standpoint nowadays. And I think that challenges the coach a little bit of being mindful of that. I think they are stuck in a traditional mentality because we know from the, you know, the Stanford Prison Experiment, right? As soon as you put someone in a role of authority, natural abuse of that authority is to come. You know, so you put a whistle and you put
the guards, you know, versus the inmates.
Exactly. Right. So you put a whistle and you put someone in a coaching perspective, like there's a natural level of potential abuse of that power and the lack of communication and overusage of that. So it's understanding how people can balance that out a little bit more effectively nowadays. And communication, I think, is a fantastic way to do so. And that has to come from both parties. It can't just come from one. A lot of times, maybe athletes might feel insecure or unknown or anxious about having a conversation with a coach, especially if you're someone who's younger, talking with an adult, right? That's not necessarily something that's common, but it's encouraged. And especially, obviously, we're always trying to encourage our athletes that we worked with to always be communicating with their coaches and setting up that before something bad happens, right? That proactive. As well as coaches need to be aware that, hey, these athletes nowadays, they're looking for a little bit more autonomy. They're looking for information. You need to be mindful to share your developmental plan, and that's going to help you also navigate any potential challenges that you might have down the line as well.
Yeah, I think about the guards, and I think about the inmates and that experiment, and I think that that is a spot-on analogy and analysis for all of our listening audience out there. Really, what that experiment was about power differential and about the inheritance of roles because of an assignment that one group was given to have more control over the other. And it started off slowly with a lot of, this is what we expected. And it got out of control so quickly, they actually suspended the experiment. Mm-hmm. Because the guards were absorbing such of a dominant role of control, they were becoming verbally, at times emotionally abusive. And still under the guise of, this is what I'm being asked to do, this is the role that I am playing. I think in today's world too, when you're dealing with both coaches and athletes, the power of communication has been transferred from a traditional method, face-to-face, through electronics, through platforms of social media. And there is an underlying assumption I think sometimes that builds between the two, where both parties are guilty of, we already know each other. We already know our point of views. And therefore, that assumption, as we all know, leads to sometimes a catastrophic projection, a worst case scenario that starts that's the proverbial boulder down the mountain that is getting out of our way. It's getting out of our own control. And then we try to overcompensate. And when those methods don't traditionally help, that's when we break down. That's when we break down emotionally. That's when we break down mentally. And that's really when you see a division so often between two people.
Yeah. You need to create alignment and proactive alignment in an effective way. What's face-to-face, I think, is one of the most effective ways that you can develop that trust, and especially in a coach and athlete relationship, but even in a parent and child relationship, right? So many times we have aggressive or hard conversations via text because that's the immediate response. But sometimes it's letting us sit. Sometimes it's, you know, we can obviously do an entire episode on conversations and how to deal with kind of conflict, but it's kind of sometimes dealing with that frustration. Sometimes you need to take a step back, not just have the immediate kind of, oh, I'm going to text this kind of harsh or challenging kind of statement. Instead, taking that step back and really having that back and forth conversation is more effective in understanding too. But it's also about setting that precedent. You need to be proactive in setting what those kind of scripts, what are those boundaries of communication look like, especially when there's a power differential. And this is why trust, especially from a power standpoint, is really hard, because we see it from an employer, we see it from a politics, we see it from a coach perspective, a parent perspective. A lot of times is this person's in power, so they must have it all, or they must have more knowledge, or they must be able to have more influence as a result of it. And so the person who's in that power is subject to potential abuse of that. And so we need to make sure that as someone, if you're in power, you're communicating and you're being honest and truthful kind of about that processes, which is a challenge. But also someone who's kind of looking, you're curious, you're asking questions, right? Don't just assume, don't just suspect either. You know, don't just say that this person is naturally going to be against me just because I don't agree. Instead, what we need to do is be curious and ask questions. And then the person in power, it's on you as well to really be able to be open and honest about that experience. But really, we need to be mindful of our emotions that come with that.
I think the curiosity is key, because I think there's an openness that comes along with the character trait of curiosity. Again, there's that appropriate risk-taking element to curiosity, that you're more in a growth mindset. And so often when there's a power differential, it's fixed. It's this way. It's my way. And for that reason, increases the likelihood that communication and therefore trust can break down. Mm-hmm. But great topic, though. Great topic about trust. Again, a little snapshot into what you and I are thinking. Should take more opportunity to discuss more openly, share with our audience about our different perspectives, about our different places in life. I think that could provide a unique balance for our listening audience. And I'm personally excited about Uncut. I think it's a nice facet to the head game. And I think it allows us to share who each of us are really with our listening audience.
Yeah, we'd love to hear the audience kind of perspective on it, kind of questions, any topics that you all want to hear and listen to, and maybe hear us and our perspectives, and maybe some education, things that we can share. We'd love to hear that from you as well, so that you guys can get a really good snapshot into, you know, what we're thinking and where we're at. So thanks for listening.